Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
My country 'tis of thee,
sweet,
sweet land of liberty.
God save the queen. All right.
Yeah. If people didn't listen to the episode two episodes ago, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Anyway, that's right. On. All right. So, okay. I'll skip the intro. Today, we are on a little bit of a mini series.
This is the first time in 581 episodes that you've skipped the intro, but people know the intro.
Anyway, yeah, they do. They do. So if you are tuning in today, this is your very first time listening to the New Churches Q&A podcast. We are on a little bit of a mini series. So go back to episode 577. All right, you heard me right. I didn't say 580, right? We're on 581 today. Go back to 577, and that's where we started this mini series off. It's the odd numbers. So we started.
And I'm on the odds. So, you know, there's two people. Todd's on the evens. Yes, I'm on the odds.
That's right.
So you got to, you know, if you can listen to Todd too, he's great. We love Todd.
So we started it off on 577 on the role, talking about the role that denominations have in church planting. 579, we talked about the role that networks have in church planting. And today we want to talk about the role that churches ought to have in church planting. But before we get there, I know the question on many of our listeners' minds, especially if they've just really been tuning into this series of episodes, is, man, I'm about to plant a church. Well, I'm praying about planting a church. And there are these denominations that I find theological congruence with. And then I have these networks that, man, it would be amazing to join these networks. And then as they dig a little bit deeper, they're like, man, they're all kind of wanting my primary affiliation. And if I join more than one, man, I'm gonna be responsible to give to this network and this denomination and this and this. And yeah, I know they're gonna give me money to help plant the church, but I'm gonna have to, man, and will I now need to give like 20% of our offering if I give to this, and this? So yeah, how would you answer that question for the potential church planner as they're looking at the lay of the land with denominations and with networks and maybe finding more similarity among them today than maybe there was 5-10 years ago? What advice would you give them as they seek to plant?
What they should do or join?
Like, not necessarily saying we're endorsing these denominations over these networks, but as they kind of look at, they've narrowed it down to two denominations and two networks that they could feel comfortable in. Should they join more than
one? It's probably worth noting that you and I are in different denominations.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, you're in Christian Missionary Alliance, Christian and Missionary Alliance, and I'm Southern Baptist. So I would say that there's a reason that I have no need to be Southern Baptist. Matter of fact, in a place like Wheaton, it's a little strange. It's a little out of, you know, it's in the north. Yeah. It's, you know, whatever else. And yet I am, partly because I believe in the, you know, the partnership that actually enables us to advance the gospel and the cause of Christ. I'm guessing that's why you're a Christian and Missionary Alliance, you know, and more. So, so your question is, how would I advise them? First, let me just a couple things. First, I would say that you need to view your denomination not in the same way that you view your local church. The local church is, God has chosen the church, Ephesians 3:10, to make known his manifold wisdom in the world. The church is the center, is not the center of God's plan. Jesus is, but the church is central to God's plan. So the church really needs to be, and as a matter of fact, just, you know, more central. And I would say too that good, healthy denominations recognize that. So as we talk about kind of the church's place in this, when we did, I wrote Viral Churches years ago, which in hindsight, by the way, is not the greatest name for a book in 2020 and 2021.
Such a good book,
though. A little aside here.
It was good.
Yeah, well, it was fun. It was fun to write. Warren Bird and I wrote it together. But I recently did my radio show in Denver. I've been helping a church out there called Cherry Hills. And I had Mark Middleberg on, and we talked about his book, Contagious Faith. And then I had Greg Steer on, and we talked about his book, Outbreak. And I just tell you that naming Christian books after diseases in hindsight does not seem as clever as it did a few years ago. Anyway, moving on from there.
So good.
So in Viral Churches, we were looking for What are some of the characteristics that make denominations better at church planting or worse at church planting? So that was part of, you know, the Leadership Network funded me on a grant to do this. I can't remember now how long we took, maybe 9 months, hired about 13, 14 people, researched every denomination, ranked them by their efficacy. It's a private report that actually never saw the light of day to a donor, and helped Leadership Network make their decisions. And then the book, we just took the positive things. So we didn't like, here are the five worst denominations of church planting. We never published that, though I do know them. You know, we published the best and why. And one of the things that the best denominations in church planting were, or some of their attributes were, the best denominations in church planting supported churches that wanted to plant churches. So church planting, now part of the challenge is in my denomination, people like to say theologically only churches plant churches. And I don't think that's, I don't think you can make that theological case overwhelmingly so in Scripture, because I think people plant churches and churches can send out people to plant churches. And but to have this idea that every church has to come out of another church is not, I mean, there's a theological tradition that's there. So, but what I would say is, you know, for example, the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, you know, has been, I mean, pretty well known for doing some good stuff in church planting. But the reason they did good stuff in church planting is MNA, Mission in North America, in one of the interviews I did with them, is they got behind, you know, Randy Pope and Perimeter. They got behind, what was that, Harbor in San Diego? They got behind Redeemer in New York. I could, you know, give a bunch more. Those are the big ones that come to mind. And so the end result is they didn't, the denomination was not announcing from the denominational headquarters that we are going to lead church planting. What they said is, we are going to serve churches that want to plant churches. And so what we see is, yeah, we mentioned networks last time, like INTRA, intra-denominational networks, like the Church Multiplication Network with the Assemblies of God, or SEND with Southern Baptist. One of the things that they're both doing and others are doing as well, we could mention some smaller denominations too, they're actually finding ways to partner with church planting churches. One of the things you have a passion for is residencies. And that becomes a key engine for church planting, is those groups, those denominations are getting behind significant church planting churches, because church planting generally takes place out of significantly engaged church planting churches.
So to put it crassly, then, should church planters decide which network or denomination to join based on, after doing the theological work of where do I find myself home in, is it more based on, hey, what can this denomination or network give me? I mean, I hate to put it that way, but
it is a little crass.
And
I would say, you know, my I would say be careful in the sense that, you know, part of it is most people sort of have, you know, a tradition. I do a lot of work with the Open Bible Churches, wonderful group of churches. Randall Box, the head of that, and you know, so for them, there's, I mean, they're kind of they kind of have a family. It's they already have the network. Though it's not so much a question of will outside church planters align with the denomination, though that happens rarely. It's more a question of will church planters who want to plant churches stay in the denomination?
Interesting.
And so what I would say is that in that situation, I would ask questions like, okay, how are we going to be supportive? What's the system? The national should have a system. It should be implemented maybe with the districts or the regions, and local churches should be engaged and involved. So for me, you know, again, because I'm an institutionalist, I think that long-term, being connected to the denomination, you'll have the opportunity to have bigger and influence and make a bigger difference. But as far as that, so let's then come back to your question. You got a free agent, right? So I'm just a, you know, free agent, and I want to, you know, go plant a church. And, you know, and I can tell you, to some people, that's the strangest thing. You know, LCMS Lutherans don't think of the terms free agent because they're, but you know, that's, you know, that's, it's not even Canadian. That's American entrepreneurial evangelicalism, you know? So should I affiliate? Well, I would say it's not a bad or sinful thing to say. If God's called me to plant a church in, you know, blank town, you know, and there's a significant denomination with which I'm theologically aligned that wants to partner with me, and I'm willing to be part of the family and stay in that family long term, then I think, yeah, that's, and I would just say, one of the things that I found, a place I used to work, is that you know, got a discount if you were affiliated with the denomination. And I saw a lot of people abusing that, saying, well, you know, I'm part of the denomination for the, you know, for the time I'm in school, and then, you know, I'm going to take the tuition break and then I'm going to leave. And I would say that that's a character issue and an integrity issue. And you know, don't take money, even if the admissions department in the school wants to convince you that that's okay. People are given to that denomination to support people who are going to be long term a part of that family.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think ultimately AMA. Make that a year pattern as well. What's that?
It's not like joining AMA.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So going to our question then, it's interesting, even at the top of this episode, you touched on it, right? Because we're talking about the role of churches in church planting and how some might even theologically be like, no, only churches can plant churches. So let's talk to the church planter slash pastor who is saying, okay, hey, I'm listening to the New Churches Q&A podcast because I'm passionate about multiplication. But my denomination isn't really firing on all cylinders when it comes to church planting.
I'm kind of wondering though, like after these three episodes, how many church planters are like tuning us out on this conversation, but keep going.
Yeah. And they're like, my denomination isn't firing on all cylinders regionally where I am when it comes to church planting, but I want to see this. I want to see my city saturated with the gospel and I want to be a part of planting churches, but I don't necessarily know should we just go and start our own network? Should we just go do our own thing when our denomination isn't firing on all cylinders where I'm at right now?
Yeah, so I would say that there doesn't always have to be a perfect alignment between your denominational identity and your church planting community. Mm. So let's say, for example, let's use the LCMS, right? So the LCMS is a confessional, not everyone uses the term evangelical in the movement. We have LCMS, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for those who don't know what that is. Depending upon the district, you have, they can feel more evangelical. In other places, they feel what they would call in their movement more confessional. So, but because of that, there's not a lot of engagement with some districts, in some areas, with some of the church planting ideas. Mm-hmm. So if there's not as much engagement with church planting ideas, you might end up in a town. Let's say you're in Houston, right? And you're like, okay, so I'm LCMS. I'm thinking of the Houston Church Planting Network, right? So they're doing great work. So, but you go to that meeting, which I've had the privilege of being at a couple times, and you'll have LCMS and Assemblies of God, and LCMS actually happens to be strong in Houston. Mm-hmm. So forgive me for that example. Link, we appreciate you. Yeah. But the point being is that they might get their church planting ideas from a network, even of another denomination. Houston Church Planting Network is a non-denominational network. But if you could get your ideas from the church multiplication as a great, robust thing going on, let's say in Seattle. I remember the Redeemer Church Planting Alliance. You know, I mean, everybody. You know, I remember I spent the day with them. And in the morning, I was with just the Redeemer, like, church planters. Mm-hmm. So I think they were all PCA Presbyterian. And then in the afternoon, it was like, I don't remember the term, it was years ago, but it was like the Redeemer Fellows. So it was, they're people who are kind of theologically like-minded, some Anglicans, some Baptists, a couple of Pentecostals, but still in that Reformed sort of tradition. In the evening, it was everybody. Yeah. And I remember having a great conversation with someone who's planting a Pentecostal church and others. So what I would say is a lot of times those networks, so in the morning, I talked about, some issues of polity. How churches would be governed that wouldn't be applicable in the evening session. So, and I don't remember what I talked about in the evening session, but the point is that you can still, back to the LCMS example, you're believing the means of grace, you don't want to listen to all these pietists on personal conversion and more. So you'll be in that, denominational family, but you're hanging around with some people who've got a network in Seattle that's helping you think through, so how do I engage, new communities? How do I find a facility to meet in, which you might not have resources that you hear about best practices in those things in other contexts? So that's what I would say. You can, and that, I would say that that's what I had to do. Yeah. I had to encourage a lot of church planters to do in my denomination, I don't even know, 15 years ago, because I think my denomination is not where it was now, where it is now, where it's much more, some of the leading, the North American Mission Board has just become a church planting influencer and doing a great job, creating new resources. But for me, the reason that I got involved in some of those other places was that's sometimes where the best practices were in some of these networks, still are doing the great work, but they still had the denominational connection and a theological connection to the denomination. Just they needed to learn from other people on the journey.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So if you've been listening to these three episodes in this mini series,
you either hate us now or you're intrigued. You could just hate us, but I guess, you know, whatever.
But I
remember,
guess the
there's
presupposition,
like 9,000 other episodes that you could listen to if you didn't like these three.
That's right. That's right. But the presupposition under each of these is really, and this is how I want us to end this episode, end this little mini series, is that we believe church planting needs to be done together, right? That even though you might be planting a church, and you may or may not be connected to others, being connected to others within a tribe of a denomination or a network or a fellowship of churches, I mean, this is, it's so important. It's so important to be a part of that. So really, then we kind of, in these three episodes, talked about different nuances that we do hope was helpful. But really, the point of this all is, hey, what does collaboration look like? Right? How can you better collaborate with others to share the gospel, to saturate your city with the good news of Jesus and make his name famous? So yeah, we just so appreciate you listening into our podcast. And if you have questions or other ideas around miniseries that you'd like us to approach and tackle, be sure to send that in by going to newchurches.com and hitting the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send that in. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.